Machus Adina is relevant in many different areas of Halacha. There's a very important tshuva in the Dvar Avraham on the topic. I remember when we learned Bava Kamma in the end of Bava Kamma in the Koil, Rabban Lichtenstein encouraged all of us to learn together the long tshuva in the Dvar Avraham, which is one of the Marmakayim is here. It's clear that Dina Machus Adina only applies in Dina Mamanis, doesn't apply in Issa V'Heter. Let's say there used to be blue laws in New York that you're not allowed to keep your store open on Sunday because that's their Sabbath, but you're allowed to keep your store open on Shabbos. You're going to say Dina Machus Adina, a Jew is allowed to keep the store open on Shabbos. They're not allowed. The Torah says you're not allowed. So Dina Machus Adina only applies in Dina Mamanis, certainly doesn't apply in Issa V'Heter. Rabbi Soloveitchik told over the story that he used to commute every week by plane from Boston to New York to give the shiurs. On one occasion, he saw on the same trip, there was a Reform rabbi there, so he was very upset about the Reform, why they'll marry off a couple, even though the woman never got a get. So he walked over to the Reform rabbi and he said, how can you have the chutzpah to marry off an Eishes Ish? It's a Issa Koris and Issa Misa and so on, the children of Mamzerim. So he says, the Reform rabbi responded to him, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. You don't know we had a convention in 1937, whatever, and we voted that it's okay. So what do you mean you voted a convention? You can't vote away a din. The halacha says a woman needs to get said, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised that you don't know the Talmudic dictum, Dina Machus Adina. So he says, what do you mean? It doesn't apply. So Dina Machus Adina. So you rely on the civil divorce. So why do you make a religious ceremony when you marry off a couple? Let them just get married by the justice of the peace. So he says, the Reform rabbi responds to them, Dr. Soloveitchik, I'm surprised at you. You don't know the difference. When a couple gets married, you recite a bracha. So that shows that a marriage is a mitzvah. So a mitzvah, you don't apply din in the machlis din. When a couple gets divorced, you don't recite any blessing. So you see, it's not a religious ceremony, it's just a law. So the law, we rely on din in the machlis din. So it's correct that there's a difference between getting married is a mitzvah, getting divorced is not a mitzvah, but it's Issa V'Heter. So we only rely on din in the machlis din, that's clear. We only rely on din in the machlis din in the area of din in mamlis, it doesn't apply in Issa V'Heter. We mentioned 2 days ago, that the Maritats, there were two people in the same generation who were known with the same Rosh Tevis Maritats. So one of them was from Tzvat, Rabbi Yontov Tzahalon. He became famous, the Bes Yosef passed away, and he had a few sons, he had 3 sons. So one of the sons died leaving no children, so the wife needed Yibum. But the Svartim, they practiced Yibum. So the son was going to do Yibum. But the son was, the surviving son was married already. So they don't follow the Chem de Rabbein Geshem. So he's going to do Yibum and marry the Almana of, the Almana was the sister of Rab Chaim Vital. Her name was Simcha Vital. Today, the name Simcha a lot of times is a boy's name, but she was a girl. So Simcha Vital was the sister of Rab Chaim Vital, was married to one of the sons of the Rabbi Yosef Karo. And the husband died believe on him, so one of the sons of Rabbi Yosef Karo was going to perform Yibum. So the father of the girl told her, don't agree to do Yibum, insist on Chalitza, because he's not going to treat you, he already is married to the other wife, he's going to treat you like a second wife. He's not going to treat you nicely. So she insisted she wanted Chalitza, he insisted he wanted to do Yibum. So they were at a standstill. So the rabbi from town apparently suggested to the girl that she should. So one fine day, either Monday or Thursday, she walked into shul right before Kriyas HaTorah. She walked over to the yavam and she spit on the floor and she tiptoed out. And the Beis HaKnesses Ari, and Beis HaKnesses one of those shuls. So they thought she flipped the lid. They thought she was crazy. What she spit on the floor. So the Rav said, that's it. Now we're going to force the Yavam to do Chalitza, because the Gemara says a din, Yavam Shirakaka Tachlots. Once she does Rikike, you force the husband to do Chalitza. Why? Because once you do Chalitza, the din is Kach Yosef Lesha Shelo Yivna, it's Pesach. Why is that Shelo Yivna? She says Kach Yosef Shelo Yivna, it's Pesach. The Gemara says, no, Kimish Shelo Yivna, Shuv La Yivna. Once the Yavam does Chalitza, we don't permit him to do Yibum. So Chalitza, normally, first you do chalitzas hasandal, then you do the rikika. The rikika is done last. So the Gemara has a din, mishum arisayin. If the Yavam made up, they're going to do chalitza, and the Yavam, by mistake, did the rikika first. Once she already did the rikika, there's a marisayin, people would think, we already finished all chalitza, we even did the rikika, father chalitza. The rikika is not meyakev. We put different opinions in Tanoim. We pass on aloha, the rikika is not meyakev, and the kriyas apsukim is not meyakev. The only thing that's meyakev is the chalitza's sandal from the right foot. And chalitza b'yamin. So the Gemara said there's a marisayin over here. If the Yavam already did the rikika, people will think, the onlookers will think they finished the whole chalitza. And if he's going to do yibum, they'll think he violated the din deraisa kimin shalabana shuvla yibna. Chalitza is asura to the Yavam. So they made it a din, you're not allowed to do yibum after rikika. So that's what the rabbi must have told the seitza. She should spit in front of the Yavam once she spits. So there's a marisayin, he's not allowed to do yibum. So then Memeli has to do chalitza. So they forced him to do chalitza, and he said he doesn't want to do chalitza. So the marit tzahalon was a young man at that time. I think he may still have been in the teenager, I'm not sure. And he wrote a whole tshuva at that time, and then everybody accepted his tshuva. He was right, but that's not correct. There is no such thing. Yavam shiraka kataklitz means if they both agreed, the Yavam and the Yavam both agreed to do chalitza, and by mistake she did the rikika before the chalitza, so then you say it's a marisai. But the Yavam never agreed to do chalitza over here. It's only on her side. He never agreed to do the chalitza. So the whole din doesn't apply over here. So he said it was a chalitza bal korchoi, shaloi kedin. So the chalitza is psula. Chalitza was psula. So therefore, you have to repeat the chalitza. So the Yavam didn't want to repeat the chalitza because he felt that he wanted to do yibum. So it was the woman remained an aguna. So that's when he became he was the marit tzahalon was accepted at that time. The other maritats was Ben Yosef Taitatzak. He was a rabbi also. The same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo. Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak was a rabbi in Constantinople, also Sephardi. And he also had a magid, just like the Yosef had a magid, speaking from his throat. His was the magid of the Mishnah. So the Rabbi Yosef Taitatzak had the magid of the Torah Shebichzab, speaking through his throat. And somehow they all understood the magid of the Mishnah is a higher level. Rabbi Yosef Karo's magid is a higher level than the magid of the Maritats. Anyway, he has a lot of tshuvas, he was also a prominent figure in the 1500s at that time. So this Marit Zahalon from Bnei Brak writes in one of his tshuvas that he was sent as a young man, we mentioned on Monday, he was sent to the Arab countries where the Jews lived to encourage them that they should follow the Dina HaTorah in Yerusha, that the people were relying on Dina Malchus HaDina. They thought Dina Malchus HaDina applies to the laws of Yerusha. So he was sent by the Rabbanim at Tzfat to notify all the people that it's not correct. And the reason why is because Dina Malchus HaDina only applies when at least one of the parties involved is a non-Jew. When it comes to Yerusha, usually all the people are Jewish. The man who's dying and all the relatives, everybody Jewish. You don't follow Din and Machutz. We'll get to that later. But there's an additional reason why the Rambam quotes a drasha. We don't have that drasha anywhere. The Rambam quotes a drasha that doesn't appear in the Gemara that says, mishpat. It says that by the Bnei Slavcha when the Chumash has all the dinim of Yerusha, so the expression used by the Chumash is Vaisas Aslachem, Chukas Mishpat. Chuka usually means Isvehetar, Mishpat usually means dinimam. So here, the Gemara has a comment, Harokala Parsha, Lios Chuka. The Torah, even though it's money, even though I'm just talking about Yerusha, it's a matter of dollars and cents, but we treat it as if it were Isvehetar. So the Rambam says, therefore, the Rambam has this, Adin Masna Mashikos about Torah tonight bottle. But what's the din Masna Mashikos about Dovish of the Mammon? Let's say, what's the case Dovish of the Mammon? What's an example? Different example. An example that's not valid. The Gemara gives an example. Masna Shemachinam the Espata Menashvua. Masna Shemachinam the Espata Beginei Babed. Masna Shemachinam the Espata Mions. So the Gemara says, it's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda, but a mas mashu has about the Rabbi Shabbat Mamet Kaim on that. Rav Meir holds it's bottle. Rav Meir holds it's not valid. And we pass Rav Meir, Rav Yudah, usually halachic Rav Yudah. We pass like Rav Yudah here. The Masa Ma'akash, whatever, Dov Shem Imamit, and I got. But usually, the Stam Mishnah is like Rav Meir. So the Gemara asks on the Mishnah, that's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, somewhere. Masa Shemachem. Leah's Patam and Ashvu, and so on. So the Gemara says, Lema Masis and Doloik Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir, so the Gemara says, no, this is an exception to the rule. That even Rav Meir would agree over here that the Tanoi Kayim. Here is a Mishnah. I forgot. You got to find a Mishnah. Masna. It's in the Tzadik's, I think. The Gemara said, this is an exception to the rule. We'll get the cases later. Master Mashka Smatov Dovashim Imam. I forgot where it is. It's in the Tzadik, I think. So the. So the Mishnah in Yesh Nechlin says about a man who wants to be mechalik the Yerusha shdeloi kedin. He wants to cheat the b'chor from Pishnaim. So the Gemara says he can't do that. And if he says, if he says in the positive, let's say I gave the mashal 2 days ago, let's say I have 3 sons, each son is in line to get 1/3 of the Yerusha, and I say 2 sons should get 40% and 1 son should get 20%. So if I say it in the positive, then it's valid. That's the din. The father has a right to change the percentages. But if he says it in the negative, he says, and the b'chor shouldn't get, if he's saying the positive, he's going to say the negative is not good. Why? The Gemara says, so the Rambam poses the question, but it's the imaminus. We pass like Rabbi Yudah. So the Rambam quotes a drasha which doesn't appear in the Gemara, that even though Yerusha is just a matter of dollars and cents, since it says, even though it's mominous, we treat it as if it were Issa the Heter. So therefore, the Dovish of the Issa, tonight bottled. The Rambam has such a drasha. They point out that they print the Mosadar Rav Kook printed a Sefer on Chumash that's called the Medrash HaGadol. It has a lot of drushes, so it has that drusha there. So Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't think that that's the mocker of the Rambam, because they probably wrote in the introduction to the Medrash HaGadol, it was written after the days of the Rambam, based on the Rambam. The one who wrote, one of the later Rishonim collected things from the Rambam and he put them on Sefer Rav Chumash. So the mocker of the Medrash HaGadol is the Rama. It's not that the mocker of the Rama is the Medrash HaGadol. Medrash HaGadol was written after the days of the Rama. But it's a mocker somewhere. The Rama had a mocker at Russia somewhere. The Chukas Mishpat, that Yerusha has a din like Kisavet. There's such a Tosfos in Ksubis also. Tosfos interpreted more like that, that we treat Yerusha like Kisavet. But the Gemara talks about the Benin Dichrin. The Benin Dichrin, in the days of the Tanaim, there used to be a Takonas Benin Dichrin. That if a man dies and he leaves 2 wives, the days of the Gemara, they used to have more than 1 wife. It was rare. We have Dina based on the assumption that it's rare. The last Mishnah in the second parak in Yavama says it was unusual for a man to have 2 wives. But we have Dina. What's a Din? So if he has 2 wives and each one collects the Ksuba, they're not necessarily going to have the same amount in the Ksuba. Maybe he wrote 1 wife a bigger Ksuba than the other. So the Din is that, if one of the wives, when the husband dies, if one of the wives has sons as opposed to only daughters, then the sons get all of the nedunya that she brought into the marriage. Yes, over and above the share, they get the nedunya, and then later on they divide the Yerusha among all of the children. Why did they introduce this takonas b'din dichrin? In the days of the Mishnah, that was the din, even if you didn't write it into the Ksuba. That was a takana satanaim, but in different. Because the practice used to be that when someone would marry off his sons, they used to give a lot of money to the son. One marry off the daughter, they didn't give so much money to the daughter, because it was very common that the daughters would die at childbirth. or they would die before the husband. The husband would yarshin all the money. So if the husband is going to have children from a different wife, and he's going to take, and the father's going to give a big nedunya, big dowry to the daughter, the daughter's going to die before the husband, usually. The wife would die before the husband years ago. So then all of the dowry that the father gave to the daughter is going to go to the husband. It's going to be divided among the other children, not his grandchildren. So people will not want to give money to their daughters. But again, the practice was they only used to give to the sons. They didn't give so much money to their daughters. So in order to encourage people, they should eat and lebit or kibinau, he should give a big Yerusha, a big Nedunya to the daughter when she gets married, like the practice was gave to the sons. So the Chachamim introduced this, Takonas Benin Dichrin, that the father shouldn't be concerned that his money is going to go to the wrong children. It's okay, the money will go to his grandchildren. If the wife dies before the husband, but then the husband is not going to live forever, the husband will die. So all of the Nedunya that the father gave to his daughter, and the husband got it when the daughter died, it'll go to his grandchildren, so there's nothing to worry about. That's a takana that they made. So the Gemara asked Akasha, how do they have the right to change the laws of Yerusha? What do you mean, how do they have the right? Hepke doesn't have, what's the problem? The Gemara asked, why do they have the right? So Tosis interprets, the Gemara's Kasha was, it's Akira's Dovah Ben HaTorah. Yo'oika the mitzvah of Asapcha ben Asnoa Yaki Lassazal Pishnaim is a mitzvah that the father should see to it that the people who are supposed to get the Yerusha should get the correct Yerusha. So how could they change the laws of Yerusha that when the father dies, the bit different of one wife get more Yerusha than the other brothers? It's against the laws of Yerusha. So the Gemara says, no, this is also dindereist. We want that people should give matonis to their daughters, that the daughter should get a good shidduch. If the girl is not going to have a dowry, so Bnei Torah are not going to want to marry her. The boys are learning a kailo. After they get married, they need that the wife should have a little money to be able to support them. So the Gemara explains why they had the right to make this takana, because it's really Akira's Dovah Ben HaTorah. The din is that the person has the right to be Akira. Let's say when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, they have the right to make a takana to Yom Lo Shofar. But you have to have a strong concern, a strong consideration. When they instituted the takana ben dichrin, it was really Akira's dov ben atar. So that Tosfos also interprets the whole Gemara and Ksuvos, like this Rambam says. The Rambam is based on a drasha that we don't have in the Gemara, but he must have had a summary. That it says by Yerusha, chukas mishpat, even though it's money, we treat it as if it were Yisrael. The Yisrael, we don't say din and machus din. So the Maritza Halon doesn't write that. He writes the reason why you can't follow din and machus because all the parties involved are Jewish. But there's another reason why, because din and machus only works in din and doesn't work in Yisrael. And Yerusha we treat as if it were Yisrael. Fine. So when you have din imam, so where do you apply the rule of din al machus? So one klal, there's a shach of all the places. The shach happens to be in Yeridaya, in Hilchas Ribis, where the shach writes, there's a pasuk on this week's set. This week is Parshas Re'eh. So it says, when you have Maisa Sheni, and you had a bountiful year, you have so much Maisa Sheni, it's going to be expensive to transport all the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim to eat it there. You live far away from Yerushalayim, and it'll be prohibitive. It'll be very expensive to transport all the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim to be able to eat it. So then the Gemara, the pasuk says, you should be paid the bikesef. It's not that kesef yadecha, et that kesef sheyesh olav tzura. So there's a brisa in Bechoris on Daf Nun Aleph Amun Aleph with a three-line brisa. Brisa says in Kola Tarkula Shabbat Kesef is Kekesef. When we get married, the Rambam writes you can either do Kiddusha Kesef Shtar Abia. The meaning by the Orthodox Jews that we choose to do Kiddusha Kesef. Why meaning by the Orthodox? Meaning Bechol Yisrael. The meaning by the Orthodox Jews as opposed to the Karaites. The Karoim didn't believe in Kiddusha Kesef because only Torah Shabbat Peh. So today, but that's how the Rambam starts off. Kiddusha Bia and Kedusha Shtar is Torah Shabbat. And Kedusha Kesef is Dibre Sefer, means that it's Torah Shabbat Peh. And because it's Torah Shabbat Peh, so all the Karaites didn't accept it. There are different groups of Karaim. There are Karaim from Asia, from Africa, and from Europe. Each group has a different shtick. But one thing that they all have in common, none of them have Kedusha Kesef. So that's what the Raman says, Kvanogu Kol Yisrael Kaddish B'Kesef. We want to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Dorah Shebaal Peh, so we dafka choose to do Kiddushi Kesef. Not only that, we do Shavi Kesef. Shavi Kesef, Kikesef is Torah Shebaal Peh on top of Torah Shebaal Peh. When you learn Kiddushin on the first daf, that Beis Haman Aleph, there's a big Taisus and there's a big Ramban and the ritual all the Rishonim discussed. How did the Mishnah know that Shavi Kesef, Kikesef? So all the Rishonim discussed it. So Kiddushi Kesef itself is Torah Shebaal Peh, and we use a ring. His chichuv and his kiddushin quotes the Mordechai kiddushin. The meaning is the Ram mekadosh bet kesh, the mekadosh bet shavik kesef. The Ramah quotes when the tikkun is zoyer that the meaning is to be mekadosh with the tabas, with the ring. So that's Torah Shebaal Peh. So the Brisa in Bechoris Daf and Aleph says that there were three cases in Halacha where shavik kesef is lav kikesef. Shavik kesef is kikesef in the zikin. Arbavis and Zikin, you can pay either cash, kesef Yoshev Balav and Mesilo, Yoshev the Rabbi Shavi Kesef, Kesef is good, Shavi Kesef is good, and if you pay Karka, then you have to give Edis. But Shavi Kesef, Metatlim is Dinik Edis, you can pay with Shavi Kesef. And Balchot can also pay with Shavi Kesef, he does not cash, he can pay with Shavi Kesef. By Kiddushin, Shavi Kesef is good, by Pidyon Aben, Shavi Kesef is good. Moran Kiddushin has Egel's other Pidyon Zini. Tal is that a pidyon. It permitted lechatchila to give shavu kesef. There isn't even a din lechatchila that you need kesef. But there are three areas of halacha where shavu kesef is lavki kesef. So one of them is pidyon ma'aser sheni. That's mishnayis, and that's the whole beginning of perek hazohar in bav metzia. The shavu kesef is lavki kesef for pidyon ma'aser sheni. Second one is machzah shekel. So pidyon ma'aser sheni. That's clearly a din deraisa. Machtes Hashekel, that's a question. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and he refers to his chibur on the Yerushalmi that he lost, that before he left Europe, he lost, he had a whole manuscript on the Yerushalmi. So he says in his chibur on the Yerushalmi Shkolim, he explained that that's also a din deraisa. Some Achronim want to say it's only a din derabanan, based on how they read a passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi. Moshe says that that's a din deraisa. And the third din is only a din derabanan, that when you go to be Ola Regal, and based on Shvosukas, you have to purchase a korban Ola Sriya, so you should only purchase it with kesef, you shouldn't purchase it with shavu kesef. So Rashi, that's only with the Rabbanan. So Rashi writes there in Pcheres, and after Nala, he quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi, why that's only with the Rabbanan, why they make such a din. Some sociologists write that they think that the whole institution of having cash is an evil of society, and the world would have been a better place to live in if there wouldn't be such a thing as cash. We should all do barter, because like this, people can accumulate a lot of money, and they're all jealous of each other, people. So the Chazon Ish writes in his Sefer, he doesn't think that that's correct. From the fact that you have a din of machzas hashekel, that you need dafka kesef, if there's one mitzvah in the Torah, pidyon ma'aser sheni is also a mitzvah, and you do pidyon ma'aser sheni, recite a bracha, shekedeshanu b'mitzvah, pidyon ma'aser sheni. So if there are one or two mitzvahs in the Torah that need dafka kesef, it must be that kesef is the ideal world, has to have kesef to be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs in the Torah. It's not an evil of society that man invented. The ideal society has to have kesef. And the Gemara says in Bamem Adlikin, I think Daf Lamed Gimel, it says that after Yaakov Avinu was nitzel from all the tzoros from Lavan, he came to Shechem, Vayichan es pneho here. So the Gemara says, Vayichan miloshen, poshe pshat Vayichan miloshen, chanoya. He camped al pneho on the outskirts of Shechem. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, miloshen chen, that he gave chen to the city. What did he do? When a person owes a debt of gratitude to the Rabbanu Shel Olam that he spared him from all the different sorrows that came upon him, that he should do something for mankind to show his gratitude to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So what did he do? So one opinion, the Gemara has three suggestions. One opinion is he introduced a monetary system. He taught them how to make money. Until Yaakov Avinu came, they only had barter. And he showed them how to make money, to have a money system. The other opinion is that he introduced Beth House, Bote Merchatz, so it's good for the health of the people. The third opinion is that he introduced shopping malls that should have all the shopping in the same place. Said, when you want to buy vegetables, you got to go over there. You want to buy clothing, you have to go over there. When you want to buy something else, the furniture, you have to go to a third place. They had shopping malls, everything is in the same area. So they say, see, from the fact that the Chumash says, Vayechan Espanehei did something valuable, that he improved the real estate by making it, he improved the whole society by introducing money. He says, see, the money is a positive thing. It's not a negative thing. So there's a Shach in Hilchos Ribis, but the Shach writes, what's the definition of Kesef as opposed to Shavu Kesef? So he says, Kesef means that it's legal tender recognized by the government. So Shach says, there are different opinions in the end of Chashimish, but to what extent you applied it in Mochus Adina, different opinions in the Gemara, where was it, Yudam and Beis? To what extent you applied it in Mochus Adina, but this everybody agrees, the Shach says, this no machlokes, that the definition of Kesef, it doesn't mean silver. If you have a bar of silver, that's Shavu Kesef. It doesn't mean Dafka silver money as opposed to gold money. You can be put in my Sushani on Prutas, Prutas on the Choshes, or on Gom, or Darkonish Shal Zohar. Machtas HaShekel has to be, Rabbi Moshe points out in the Shuvah, in Chilik Yerodeh, Machtas HaShekel has to be Dafka Kesef. He holds that it's a Din Daraisa. And it says in the beginning, the Rambam writes, the Rambam and the Rabbi both explain the beginning of the Baisheni period, they gave Machtas Shekel, they gave Darkona Shel Zov, they gave golden coins. So if you hold that Kesef means only silver cash, so how can you be paid in Maisa Sheni on golden money? How can be Yotze Machtas Shekel with golden coins? So he says, no. So the Shach says, Kesef as opposed to Shavu Kesef has nothing to do with silver. It doesn't have to be silver coins. It can be golden coins, and it can't be a bar of silver. Kesef means legal tender. Whatever is recognized by the government as legal tender. So that depends on the government of your country. Let's say, Rav Neuver, the author of the Shemir Shabbat Chos, had passed away already. But Kozman, he was alive for many years. He grew up together with the Yekes from Breuers, the old-timers from Breuers, were classmates of his. So he gave Breuers permission that whenever they want to be paid in Maisa Sheni, he had matbeis. He had what they call pruta chamura. That's another story. What's a pruta chamura? So he had a big coin that he used to use for pidyon Maisa Sheni. So he gave permission, anybody who's a member of Breuers Kehila, those are his yedidim, has permission to use his pruta chamura for the purpose of pidyon Maisa Sheni. But pidyon Maisa Sheni needs dafkin kesef, has to be cash that's recognized as a legal tender by the government of that country. So the Shaila is, his Pruta Chamura wasn't by the gun. And we're in Washington Heights. We're using his Pruta Chamura. So the question is, what if I'm in Washington Heights, the Pruta Chamura is in by the gun, and the Paris Maisa Sheni are in Canada? And I want to be paid in the Maisa Sheni in Canada, I own them, or the Maisa Sheni Paris are in London, whatever. So does it depend? Let's say for Pidyon Maisa Sheni, I'll use Israeli coins in America. The boy learned in Yeshiva, has the Pruta Chamur, comes back to America, he still has the Pruta Chamur, he's going to be paid in Maisa Sheni in America. So he's in America, and the coin is in America, and the Maisa Sheni is in America. So you have to use American cash. You can't use Israeli cash. Israeli cash in America is not recognized as legal tender by the government in America. But the question is, what if the cash, the Pruta Chamura, is in Beit Vegan, in Rav Neuwirth's home? And the one who's making the pidyon is in Washington Heights, and the Maisa Sheni is in London. So does it depend on where the Maisa Sheni is? Does it depend where the money is? Or does it depend where the person is? So there are three logical possibilities, but the Gemara and Baba Kama takes the stand on it black and white. But the two Girsas in the Gemara, the Rambam and the Rav. So it's a Machloikas, the Rambam and the Rav. So the Rambam says it depends where the person is. And the Ravid Gir says that it depends where the Matbea is. So the Chazon Ish and many other Paskim say, we don't Paskim like the Rambam, because for the purpose of Pidyon Maisa Sheni, provided that you call them up in advance or you email them 5 minutes in advance and you tell them that you want to use it, because they keep records. They keep track how many prutas were used up, because then if they use up all the prutas in the big coin, then you have to switch all the Maisa Sheni to a different coin. You have to switch back and forth. So they do the same thing. They use a British coin, which is called Kesef, in Britain, but we live in America. Someone else lives in Eretz Yisrael. How can you use a British coin? The answer is, it depends where the coin is. That's the gears of the Ravid in the Gemara. And the Chazanish said, that's how we pass on like the Ravid. That the Rambam's gears doesn't read straight in the Gemara. Logically, there are three logical possibilities. The Gemara takes a stand befavorish. So we assume that the correct gears in the Gemara is the Ravid's gears, that it depends where the money is, not where the person is, and not where the Maaseh Sheni is. So that's a Shach and Hilchas Ribis, but the Shach writes, it's relevant for Ribis also, when it's Ribis Darais and when it's Ribis Darbanan. So the Shach writes that Kesef means legal tender recognized by the government of that country, and everybody agrees that that's Din Machus Adin is relevant to determine what's called Kesef. Where else do you have Din Machus Adin? So Shmuel is quoted in the Gemara in different places. In Dorim, what daf was it? Rabbi Orlean just told me, daf Chav Ches.
Chav Ches Amar Aleph, that's the Ran by Mochis, the Ran by taxes. Yeah.
So the Mishnah talks about a fellow wants to cheat on taxes, and he's going to swear, they charge him taxes according to how much of he's traveling on the highway, and they charge him tax. So he's going to take a Shvua, that this doesn't belong, that these are his children, these are not his avodim. If they're his avodim, he has to pay tax for them. If they're his children, he doesn't have to pay tax. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, how is he allowed to cheat on income tax? What happened to Dina Machus Hedina? Alma Shmuel. Shmuel says the government is entitled to collect the taxes. That's in the end of Baba Kam. Also, the Gemara says, Shmuel is quoted a few places in the Gemara, that Dina Machus Hedina in connection with taxes, yeah. The government has a right to charge tax. How does Shmuel know that that is the din? So that's a big question. So there's an interesting Bir Agra. The Mihiri has the same as the Bir Agra. When the Shulchan Aruch quotes this din, so the Agra refers you to a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel in Sanhedrin, on daf, what the Talmid is daf chotam et beis. When Bnei Yisrael requested from Shmuel Anovid that they wanted to have a melech. So Shmuel HaNovi was very hurt. What's wrong with me? He was shayfit them. Why do you need a melech? You're rejecting my leadership. They want to be kochal agoyim. They want to have a melech. So Shmuel read them the riot act, and he says, I want you to realize you're going to have a melech. He's going to charge tax, and he's going to draft your boys into the army, and he's going to take your daughters as pilakshim. He's going to do a whole list of things he's going to do. So that's called Parshas HaMelech. In Sefer Shmuel, Parshas HaMelech. So there's a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel, Kol HaOmer Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo, and Melech Osabo. Are these the evils of the king that they do Shalokidin? Or no, these are the legal rights that the king is entitled to do this. So that's a machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel. So the Bir Agra writes that it's Shmuel Ishitosa. Shmuel is the one who says, Kol HaOmer Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo. These are the legal rights of the king. The king has a right to levy taxes on the people. He's talking about the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel, no, he's talking about having a Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael. So the king has a right to levy taxes. It's called Salam Parshas Melech Melech Mutabo. Shmuel Shitos. And the Meiri has like that. Also, that's interesting. That the Bir Agra assumes that according to Rav, Salam Parshas Melech Melech Asabo, there's no din of Dina Machus Adina. The government may not have the right to charge taxes. That's interesting. But we assume Lakshma, Melech Mutabo, so that's why the king has a right to levy taxes. So on Daf Chav Ches Amin Aleph, there's a run in the dorm. A lot of people don't know the first 25 blot in the dorm, then they don't know the next 60 blot in the dorm, but they know one line in the run on Daf Chav Ches, that you don't have to pay taxes in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to pay taxes in Chutz Lartz. Why? So the run puts it in the name of the Balei HaTosis, that the theory behind taxes, it's not like the Bir Agra, that is based on Parshas Melech, Kolam Parshas Melech Mutabo, that these are the legal rights, the legitimate rights of the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael, but rather that the land of France belongs to the king of France, the land of England belongs to the queen of England, and every land belongs to the king of that country. Now, if you want to live in that country, the king has a right, since he owns the land, he has a right to charge you rent. So that's what taxes is all about. They charge income tax or whatever, sales tax, whatever they charge. That's their form of charging rent. And if you don't want to pay the taxes, then you're stealing. The Rambam writes, whoever doesn't pay tax, I raise a gozel menas hamelech. He's stealing the money from the king. What money is he stealing? It's like I move into your house without paying your rent. You don't give me permission to live in your house unless I pay rent. So if the country belongs to the king, so the king has a right to charge rent. And the way he charges rent is a sales tax goes to the king, or income tax, whatever, that's the rent. So that Bali Atayis said that that's only France belongs to the king of France, and Great Britain belongs to the queen of England, and so on. But Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu encouraged all the Jewish people. Kindalach, I want everybody to live in Eretz Yisrael. So no king, whether Jewish king or non-Jewish king, no king has the right to charge tax for the Jewish people. So that's not at all like the Ran. That's not at all like the Bir Agra. The Bir Agra says the whole mucker of Dina the Machlus Dina, that you have a right to charge taxes, Shmuel Shitosai, Kolom and Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabo, that the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael has a right to charge tax in Eretz Yisrael. So this Tosfos that the Ran quotes in the Dorim is against the Bir Agra. The Rambam also, right, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam. Every section of Shulchan Aruch is usually based on other Rishonim, like Chvelek Aleph Yeredeya. It's all based on the Torah Sabayis L'Harashba. And much of Hilchus Avelis is based on the Ramban and Torah Sa'adam. And then big chunks of Chashim Mishpat are based on the Sefer HaTrumos. Sefer HaTrumos was a Talmud of the Ramban. He always has Svardish Poskim, he has Kalad. Sometimes he quotes Raivitz that we don't have any other source for. He quotes things from the Raivitz and so on. So, and then other many sections of the Shulchan are just word for word from the Rambam. So if you look in the end of Chosh Mishpat, when they have about paying taxes, Dina Mechus Adina, so there it's just copied out of the Rambam word for word. So the Rambam says the Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael has a right to levy taxes, and even the Goyish king in Bavel, even the Goyish king in America also has a right to levy taxes. Even. But the original din of taxes is Kolam and Parshas Melech, Melech Mutabon. The Jewish king in Eretz Yisrael does have a right to levy taxes. That's number one, that we don't really accept. Many Jews in Eretz Yisrael don't pay tax because of the Ran and the Dorm. If they learned Chodesh Mishpat, they'd see the Ran doesn't have honorable mention. They mention the Ran, but they say we don't accept that opinion. They don't pass like that. Furthermore, it's not correct for a different reason, that the Bizman HaZem, you're talking about a democracy. So the money that you pay for taxes doesn't go to enrich the king. You're not Gozel Menas HaMelech. The money goes to pay the bills. We have to pay the president. We elected the president of the United States, right or wrong. We elected him, so we have to pay him a salary. We elected the mayor of New York City, whether you like him or not. We elected him, so you have to pay him. He does work. We have some things are taken care of by the federal government, some things taken care of by the state government, some things taken care of by the municipal government. So the mail delivery is taken care of by the federal government. Purification of the water is probably done by the municipal government. The education, the public schools, that's the municipal government. The forests in the state and the state highways, that's paid for by the state government. So there's a din, all the people who live in a city are considered shutfim on three levels, on the municipal level, on the state level, and on the federal level, on the national level, because we share certain needs in common. So they can take, for example, it says in Chosh Mishpat that all the people who live in the city can be kaifim zezeh to give money to make a mikveh, and to build a shul, and to make a yeshiva, and to make an Erev, and so on, all these things. Why? It's an Hilchus Shluchim, the Shutvim. All the people in the city have a din of Shutvim. We never join. Normally, Shutvim is five people get together. E.J. Corvettes, no? Was 11 Jewish Korean veterans. So 11 veterans joined together. They put money together, and they made a Shutvis. So usually, you put in money together, you start a Shutvis. But one has the money, one has the brains. So one has the money, one does the work. No brains, he does the work. So you make a shut, you join. Here, we never join. People were born in New York City, so they're born into three shutfas, and a shutfas of the municipality and the state and the country, because each government takes care of different things that we all share in common. I don't need the public school system. I send my children to yeshiva. But since the Igo Basarayv, that's the Din HaChashim Mishpat, it's a Tosefta like that. let's say you have a shutfim in a business, and let's say they have a shoe store together, and they made a lot of money. And so some of the shutfim say, we shouldn't take the revach that we earned this year. Better is, we should put all the money back in and open a branch in London, so next year we'll make five times as much money. And some of them say, no, I'm not interested in opening a branch in London. I don't want five times as much. I want my revach now. I want to take my revach now. So the Din HaChosh Mishpot is a quotation from a Tosefta in Bava Metzia. Din is that you go Basarayv. It's interesting. And that Sif in HaChosh Mishpot says, what's the marker of the Tosefta that you go Basarayv when there's a dispute among the Shutfim? He says it's a Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Achei Rabim La'atas. The pasuk goes on Dayanim and it in Torah. In Mamonos on the Fashas, you go Basaroy. But the Bi'er HaGra said the same pasuk goes on Shutfim. You go Basaroy by the Shutfim. It's a different kind of a Shutfim. They become Shutfim Bal Kocham because they all share certain needs together. So since Roiv of the citizens of New York City want public schools, the Roiv of the people on Ochrim, so even the Jews who are the Mir, we don't use the public schools. We're all Mechuyev to pay. Because whenever the Rav wants something, the Rav feel that this is a necessity. So even the miut has to go along. That's the din and shutfim. So b'zman hazeh that Gav is Eretz Yisrael is a democracy. So the money doesn't go to enrich anybody. There are gazlanim in every generation. There are ganovim who are stealing money. We're not talking about ganovim. We're talking officially. Where is the money supposed to be going? To pay all the expenses, to pay for the, every country needs an army to protect them from the terrorists, and you need water purification, you need mail delivery, you need the highways, you need the public schools, you need all these things, you need the museum, I don't need the museums, but the Rav of the people feel that they need museums, so the miut have to pay, part of the money has to go to pay for the upkeep of the museums. So b'zman hazeh, that the money that's collected from taxes is just to pay the expenses, you're not enriching the king. It doesn't go to enrich the king, it just goes to pay the expenses. So the government is just like the MC over here, they're just the secretary. You're not stealing from whoever doesn't pay taxes, it's stealing from all the other shutfim. So you really, that's not Gezel Akum. My taxes are 10 times higher than they should have been because there's so many rich people and not paying their taxes. So whoever doesn't pay taxes, stealing from the other people, stealing from the other shutfim, and that's why we have to pay more taxes. So it's not gezel akum. If you don't pay, the money doesn't go to the goyish gan. Money comes from all the shutfim together. They're stealing money from all the Jews who are paying taxes. So that's real gezel. So as man has said, the whole idea of relying on Iran, that there's no din in Malchusa but you get to paying taxes in Eretz Yisrael doesn't apply at all, because today the whole theory behind taxes in a democracy is that we all have a din of shutfim and we have to pay for the expenses of the shutfis. But there is a din that you have to pay tax. That's how the Gemara says. Some years ago the taxes, it wasn't a democracy. The taxation money went to enrich the government, and the Rambam writes, whoever doesn't pay the taxes goes on Menasa Melech, he's stealing from the king. So that's a question, but it's not Gezel Akum, it's Avkos Alvasei. I owe money to the king, because Dinan Machusi, he's entitled to charge me tax. Or according to the Rambam, B'Shem Taisus, he's charging me for rent. So there's a din of course of us of an akum is mutter. So why do you have to pay the taxes? So that's a discussion. A miut, a minority of the poskim said that you don't have to pay the taxes, but the rabbi, the poskim held out. So yeah, you mochiv have to pay the taxes. You don't say it's of course of us. That's a discussion. Why not? Yeah, where else do we apply the principle of dina d'malchus adina? So there's the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Pegimel. The Gemara says the famous Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who was hiding in the cave with his son, Elazar Reb Shimon, they were learning Zohar together. So what did his son do for a living after they got out of the cage? So the Gemara says he was a policeman for the Roman government. What did he need? A rabbi to be the policeman? They needed someone who spoke Yiddish, because when it came to the Jewish Ganovim, they only spoke Roman. They didn't speak Yiddish. They didn't know what the Ganavim were talking. So they needed a Yiddish policeman to be able to figure out what's going on by the Yiddish criminals. So the Gemara says he would master, and the Roman government would give the death penalty to Ganavim. According to Jewish law, you don't give the death penalty to a Ganav. You don't put him in prison either. You make him pay the Ganav. But Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon would master Jews to the government based on circumstantial evidence, the Gemara says. If there would be a Geneva in town and they'd be trying to figure out who did the Geneva, so Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon will see by breakfast who's yawning over breakfast. Why is he yawning? Because he didn't get a good night's sleep. So why did he not get a good night's sleep? So if he's a Talmid Chacham, he was probably learning late into the night, that's why he's yawning. If he's not into learning, he would assume that he was doing the Geneva, and he would arrest him and give him the death penalty based on circumstantial evidence. And sometimes they would be angry at him. He said, what do you mean? They would deny that they're guilty. They say, we didn't do the Geneva. So the Gemara says, every time it was right. Whenever he arrested someone, they gave him the death penalty. So the Rishonim say there, the Shittim Kobetz says, and the Chiddush Rana Sanhedrin has it also, that that's not called Mesira. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that, Chelek HaShemishpat, first Chelek HaShemishpat. A person works with the IRS, and he checks over people's tax returns, and he sees that many Jews were cheating on income taxes. That a nisa mesir to masa him to the government. So Moshe says, no, you see from the Gemara, that's not a nisa mesir. Gemara says that it's not a nice job for a nice Jewish boy. The Gemara says, let the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Jewish people, is like the kerem Hashem alakei tzvokos. It's levinyar of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So yovabalakem, let the Rebbeinu Shalom come and punish the ganavim who are cheating on the tax. Why should you do it? But if that's the parnasa that I do, I work for the IRS, I'm paid. So I'm not doing out of the goodness of my heart. So strictly speaking, that's not a nisa mesir. It's not a nice job to have, but it's permissible. That's what the Rishonim say. It's not a nisa mesir. Mesir is only if it's shaloi kedin. If the person did a crime and he deserves a punishment, if he didn't do a crime, let's say he davened in shul, and under the communists, they're not allowed to daven. So whoever observes a religion, they put him in jail. So you're not allowed to massa to the government that the guy is religious. He's observing the Jewish religion. He's performing a bris milah. He's sitting in sukkah. He's davening. He didn't do anything wrong at all. But if he did geneva, even though by us the punishment is not the death penalty, the goyim are going to give the death penalty. So the Rishonim say that, strictly speaking, that's not a violation of mesira. And that's not a violation of causing the person to die. That's Dina Machusadina. That's permissible. What else do you say, Dina Machusadina? We assume the Goyish government has the right to organize a legal code, to have a whole system of Dina, to have legal books, a legal system. So this is a big shaila. Is that really true? So the Maharam Padua was a cousin of the Ramor. He was an Ashkenazi. His name is Katzin Ellenbogen, but he lived in Padua in Italy. So he printed a new edition of the Rambam where he added Hagos on the bottom of the page. If you look at every Rambam, you have very insignificant Hagos on the bottom of the page. Sometimes they tell you where the tour is. Once in a long while, they have a Haggadah. And every page in the Rambam, you have the Kesef Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, the Mishnah Melech, and so on. Then you have sometimes on some page, you have one line. No one ever looks at that line. That's called the Haggadah of the Maram Padua. The Haggadah is right below the Rambam. Before you see the Magen Mishnah, Lechem Mishnah, there's one line. So that's pretty insignificant. So that's the Haggadah of the Maram Padua. So another Nochri printed another edition of the Rambam, and he was selling it for less than the Maram Padua and Peshut was for the different Nochri. And they printed the Rambam with the Hagos of the Maram Padua. And another Nochri reprinted an edition of the Rambam. He was selling it for less than the edition of the Maram Padua. So the Maram Padua, who was a cousin of the Rambam, corresponded. The Rambam lived in Krakow in Poland. The Maram Padua lived in Padua in Italy. So requested of the Rambam, he should paskin that no one's allowed to buy the second Goy's edition of the Rambam till he sells out all of his volumes. So the Rambam wrote a tshuva like that. I thought it's a little unfair. He never mentioned the whole tshuva that the Maram Padua was his cousin. He should have said that. I don't know. I think that's a little unfair. But the Rambam has a whole bunch of reasons why no one else is allowed to... The other guy is not allowed to sell his edition of the Rambam before the Maram Padua. So one reason is that the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, Atashtim Balecha Avlo, it's also to keep a sefer in your house, a sefer she'ena mugel. if you have a Sefer Torah or a Shulchan Aruch, whatever, that has mistakes in it, so you're not allowed to keep it around the house. They say when Rav Chaim Heller put out his edition of the Sefer HaMitzvos HaRambam, even there he corrected the translation of Ibn Tibbon, because he says that he translated incorrectly from the Arabic, Sefer Mitzvah written in Arabic, and Ibn Tibbon translated into Hebrew. So even there he made a mistake. So Rav Chaim Heller printed, he used the old translation, and here and there he touched it up. Now in recent years we haven't gotten some new translations that read in normal Hebrew. You have Kapachas, and then you have Yepta Kapach, you have other translations of the Sefer HaMitzvah. Rav Chaim Heller used the old one. So they say that the Chafetz Chaim said, now that we have Rav Chaim Heller's edition, Al Tashkim Alech Avli, you're not allowed to use the old edition. People, everybody's still using the old edition. Even though it has, even there it has a couple of mistakes. So the one reason that the Ramah gives is, you're not allowed to use the old Rambam because it's a Sefer She'en Amugah. Because the new edition of the Rambam has the Hagos of the Maran Padawan. There, it's a little bit of a joke. The Hagos Maran Padawan, nobody ever looks at them. The Hagos are just Maran Mekoymas here and there. They're so insane. People don't even know that it's there. If I wouldn't have pointed it out, you wouldn't even know that there are Hagos. One lion Hagos. Anyway, but then he has the main thrust that he gives, I think, six reasons why everybody has to buy the edition of the Maran Padawan first. And then you're allowed to, after you'll run out of copies of his edition, then you can buy from the other guy who printed the Rama. It gives another reason that there's a din in Choshem Mishpat, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra, then when a Tzuvim of the Rabbanon comes to town, let's say a Talmid Chacham comes to town, he's selling toothpaste, or he's selling women's jewelry, or he's selling perfume, whatever, full of brush man. So if you have two people selling the same thing, and one of them is a Talmid Chacham, and when the Talmid Chacham would sell, all he has to sell, then he's going to sit and learn. So the Gemara says, Naktina Leishuka, the local Bezdin should make an announcement. No one's allowed to buy from the other person until the Talmid Chacham sells everything that he wants in this city. So there are more paskins at the Nachrim, one of the Shevet Mitzvah B'Nach is Dinim. What's included in Dinim? So the Ramah says, everything that's in Choshem Mishpat. Where did he get that from? He got it from the Ramban al Torah. That the Ramban says that Dinim includes all the Chavtalot, Ovis, and Zik. Everything. So the Ramah says, everything that's Choshem Mishpat. So this Din, Naktina Leshuka, I would have thought that really belongs in Yeridea. In Hilchos Talmud Chacham. In Hilchos Talmud Torah. That there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. There's a mitzvah to be Mechazik Talmid HaChachamim. So Talmud Chacham has a parnasse, and he comes to town and he's selling toothbrushes or he's selling perfumes or something. So you allow him to sell out his merchandise first before anybody else is going to sell the same thing, in order that he should be able to learn. So by accident, they put this in Choshem Mishpat. So the Ramah said, it's in Choshem Mishpat. So it's part of Choptal, the Rabbis, and Zik, and the Goyim have to observe every single din that's in Choshem Mishpat. That's what the Ramban writes on Chumash. Ramban writes on Chumash that dinim includes all the Choptal, the Rabbis, and Zik. That Ramban is problematic anyway, because some of the Choptal, the Rabbis, and Zik, and Akefa, Dala, the A, Shlosh, Mishal, Lebed, Knas, and that the Gemara says, Beferish. That it says when the Jewish people came to the city Mora, Sham Sam Lochoka Mishpat Sham Nisau. So the Gemara says, Mora Nitztavu Al Adinim, because it says Mishpat, Choka Mishpat. So Dinim was given in Mora. So the Gemara, what do you mean Dinim were given in Mora? The Bnei Noach have Dinim. Dinim is one of the Shevet Mitzvah. What was added on in Mora? So the Gemara says, Dinim Knosses. The Bnei Noach don't have Knoss, they only have Mammon. So what was added on? That's one answer. The Gemara Sanhedrin and Sugya Bnei Noach around Afnon Ches or so. Gemara says that the dinim was given a Mara, goes on Knesset. So what the Ramban writes as Choptal, the Rabbis Nazikin, has not been duyak. It's not really accurate. You can't refer to all the Choptal, the Rabbis Nazikin. There is the Gemara in Chulin, I think it's in the Tzaddik's, I think it's Perikid Anoshe, where the Gemara says that Bnei Noach are obligated to observe Shloshim Mitzvahs. So Rashi writes, he doesn't know what the Shloshim Mitzvah is. The Gemara says that there are Shevet Mitzvahs, and Rav Sanhedrin, and Dr. Ches says there are Shevet Mitzvahs, and we're Shloshim Mitzvahs. So you look in the back of the Gemara, some of the Achraim have this idea. There are Shevet Mitzvahs, one of them is Dinim. So the one that's Dinim is really 24. Choptal, the Rabbis Nazik. So 24 and 6 is 30. That's the Shloshim Mitzvahs, because the Mitzvah of Dinim counts as 24. And then you have another 6 of the Shevet Mitzvahs, so that's 30. So the Pashtun says that's a pshat, that's not correct. because the Chavdala Rabbis and Zikin includes Knossos and the Goyim for sure, and not Mukhayiv to pay Knoss. But anyway, that's a Chiddush that the Ramo has. The Pashtus is not like the Ramo at all. That the Goyim are not Mukhayiv to observe everything that it says in Chavshim Mishpat. The Goyim make up their own legal system, and whatever they feel is Yosher, so that's the law. Doesn't have to be the Chavdala to say Naktina leshuke, that the guy has to observe the din that's happened to be with McCrams, be pinted a chesha mishpah, that if Tamil Chacham comes to town, you have to give him the right to sell his merchandise first. That's highly questionable. So we usually assume that the Goyim have dinim, have a right to make up their own legal system. And in fact, there is a Gemara, the end of Bava Kama, we have to explain the Gemara. The Gemara says, if an Oyvid Abid Azara and a Jew come for a din Torah to a Jewish bezin, so the bezin should try to figure out how is the best way to have the Jew win the din Torah. If they'll follow Dini HaTorah, the Jew will win, so they should pass him a Dini HaTorah. If they follow Dini Bnei Noach and the Jew will win, they should follow Dini Bnei Noach. So what kind of shtick is that? Is that fair? Whichever is in the best interest of the Jew. So the Rambam explains what's going on. The Rambam in Mishnah Torah says, the Gemara didn't say Noach, the Gemara says, Oibid Abed Azor. The guy is an Oibid Abed Azor, so we're out to punish him. We want to penalize him. So that's why we have it in against him. So if he has a court case against the Jew, so if they come to a Jewish bezdin, so if the bezdin could be mezaka the Jew following dinei bnei noach, they should do so. If they can be mezaka the Jew following dinei Israel, they should do so. What if he's a nochi, not an oibed abed azar? Then the Rambam says you follow dinei the malchusa, you follow dinei bnei noach. Whenever the two non-Jews, let's say two. I remember years ago, I once visited in Toronto. There was a meeting of the RCA there. So they were reporting that non-Jewish litigants were coming to the RCA Beznan in Toronto. Both parties were going because they didn't want to go to the secular courts because you have to wait forever. You have to wait months and months, and you have to pay lawyers. And sometimes they have shikare judges. And they know that by Jewish Beznan, They're and they're not shikir, and they'll give them a good psak in less time. So they had cases where both parties were going. There are no Jews involved at all. They came to the Jewish Beis and they're going in Europe also sometimes. But the dinim was so respected, or the rabbanim was so respected by the goyim. So when they had a court case with each other, instead of going to the goyish court, they would go to the Jewish Beis. So when two goyim come to the Jewish court, or if a goy and a Jew come to the Jewish court fighting with each other, the Rambam says the psak is din and the machusa din. The bezin has to give a psak based on din and the machusa. They're not supposed to pass him based on chesh and mishpat. Whenever all the people involved are Jewish, then we don't follow din and the machusa din. Then we follow the chesh and mishpat. That's what they quote in Shulchan Aruch. Din and the machusa din doesn't apply when all the parties involved are Jewish. That was what the Maritat said about Yerusha. Since all the people involved are Jewish, so din and the machusa doesn't apply. We follow chesh and mishpat. The Shach talks about the exceptions to the rule. When is there perhaps an exception to the rule where all the parties involved are Jewish and we still follow Din and the Machusa? So the Shach quotes a Mordechai, I think it's in the end of Bava Kama, where the Mordechai has the following case. A Jewish man has a store, and when he has, and he sells merchandise, he buys and he sells, he buys wholesale, he sells retail, he buys and he sells, he does business. So when he deals with the goyim, he has in mind according to din and the machusa. Everything is going to din. So he makes the mechira in accordance with whatever the din and machusa is. When he deals with the Jews, he's going to have to screw his head on differently. He has to have in mind what the din of Torah is. So we assume that since he deals in business with non-Jews, probably when he deals with the Jews, he also has in mind to follow din and the machusa. And the din is that called tereisha b'mamik kaim. We said before, Master Masha Kasabatura tonight bottle. Let's say a man marries a woman, he says, Ariya Mukadeshusli, on the condition that if I die, believe on him, he won't need chalitz. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's a perfect example of Master Masha Kasabatura. He can't make such a tonight. But he makes it tonight, Ariya Mukadeshusli, on the tonight that if at the end of the year we're not happily married, you shouldn't need a get. That's Master Masha Kasabatura tonight bottle, and my Sakam, they're married, and she does need a get. Even though he said, if he won't be happy, the marriage should fall apart. It doesn't fall apart. But the Dovah Shem Mammon, you can. So let's say if I crash into your car, or I beat you up, that's chayv lemazik. That's not. I didn't agree to the chiyuv over there. So the din haTorah said it. But if I hire workers or if I deal in business, that we entered into the contractual agreement. I hire the workers, or I buy, or I sell. So then it all depends what they have in mind. So if the minhag kamdina, the mishnah is in bava metzia. The Mishnah has a bav metzia that, strictly speaking, a worker, there's a pasuk in Brochi Nafshi. That the worker is supposed to work, the poilam is supposed to work from, I think, Alois al Shacha till Tseis al Kachov. So let's say I hire a worker, and then he works from 9 to 5, and it comes the end of the week. He wants his $5,000 salary. I say, what do you mean? But you didn't start from Alos HaShachat till Tseis HaKachavim. You only work from 9 to 5. I said, Alos HaShachat, Tseis HaKachavim, I never heard of it. Hashem, it's a Pasuk, it's a Mishnah, it's a Din. But the Minhag HaMedina is everybody works from 9 to 5. So that's the case where the Mishnah says, HaKol K'minhag HaMedina. That's what the Yerushalmi says, Minhag HaKer HaLocha. If the halacha is that the worker is supposed to work from Alos HaShachat till Tseis HaKachavim, but the minhag hamdina is not so, so whatever is the minhag hamdina is kilu hisnu, it's considered as if they had made it tonight, and kol taraisha b'mamakayim, if he made it tonight, it's binding. So even if they never made it tonight explicitly, but it's the minhag hamdina is like that, so it's self-understood. Whatever is minhag hamdina is considered kilu hisnu, if they would have made it tonight, then the din haTorah is that you have to follow the din b'nei noach. So that's what the Mordechai quotes from the Baalei HaTosfos. If there's a Jew who has a business, and he buys and he sells, he deals in business with Jews and non-Jews alike. So since when he deals with the non-Jews, he has a mind, according to the Machusas, even when he deals with the Jews, even though he never said so explicitly, since Kol Tanai Shebamah Mekayim, it's an Umdin and the Muchach, that's what he had in mind. So that's Kilu Hisnu. And therefore, you follow the Din Machus. So that's one exception to the rule. But all the people involved are Jewish, and you still follow the Mecha and the Lekech, they're both Jewish, or the Malvin, the Leiv, or whatever. But since he deals in business with Jews and non-Jews, he has in mind when he deals with the Jews, it should be according to the Din of the Machus. The Shach adds on another case, but he thinks he doesn't have any Rishayim, will say, Shach on his own says, what if you have a case where the Halacha has nothing to say about the case? And then he said, the Halacha has nothing to say, then we follow the Din of the Malchus. So that's a question. The Chazon Ish says, it doesn't exist. There is no case. And the Din Mamun said, the Halacha has nothing to say. Either the Halacha says that you're Chayiv or you're Potter. But there's no case the Halacha has nothing to say. So the Chazon Ish holds that that's wrong. Years ago, Years ago, 80, 90 years ago, there used to be Jewish people in New York City who owned apartment buildings, and they would only rent to Jews because there were laws of rent control, and they planned to charge more than the rent control. What right did they have to charge more than the rent control? Because rent control is din in the machusa, and if the landlord and the tenants are all Jewish, then din in the machusa doesn't apply. So they weren't going to follow that. Or they were minimum wages, those that were minimum wages. So if a Jew owned a factory, he would only hire Jewish workers. He doesn't have to pay the minimum wages because Dina Machusa doesn't apply whenever all the parties involved are Jewish. So at that time, Rav Henkin wrote a tshuva. The Pashto says that he's right. He says, we say that Dina Machusa doesn't apply whenever all the people involved are Jewish. That means if the Umas Olam developed a whole system of law, we have a Chashmish, but they have their law, their legal system. But if the government makes a takana, le tikkun hamdina, le tovus hamdina, that's binding on the Jews and the non-Jews as well. That was a takana, le tovus hamdina. The Bezdin should have made the takana. The Bezdin isn't making it. Let's say they have rent control, that the landlord shouldn't rip off the tenants, or they have minimum wages, or they have the price control on things that, if you're selling ice cream, it's selling televisions, charge whatever you want. Selling jewelry, so don't buy the jewelry. But if you're selling milk and eggs and cheese and bread, the things that are basic necessities in life, so the government used to make laws that you're not allowed to charge too much. So that's a takana that the Bezdin should have made. The Bezdin didn't make, so the government made it. So that's what I think, and said, that's binding. That's binding, even if all the people involved are Jewish. Avner Nez has such a tshuva also. It's interesting, in that long essay by the Dvar Avraham, he points out Din HaMachlis as different areas. We spoke about taxes and minting coins and Ben Adam L'Havera and punishing people and so on, Mesira. So he points out that the Taisus in the first parak in the beginning of Sanhedrin points out that Din HaMachlis Adina is really an extension of the Din of Hefka Bezna Hefka. Just like Bezna has the right to make takanas based on Hefka Bezna Hefka, so the government of the Bezna isn't making the takanas, so the government has the right to do that. That's the role of the Melech. The Melech, there's a pasuk that's in Mishle, Melech b'mishpat yamin eretz. The role of the king is to maintain law and order in the country. So the government has to introduce laws, tikkun hamdina, l'tovus hamdina, that the people should rip each other off and so on. Another takana, l'tovus hamdina, even if all the parties involved are Jewish, is, let's say, bankruptcy. There's no halacha bankruptcy. But it's a takana. All the Medina Soilim, they made a takana, a bankruptcy. So that even if all the parties involved are Jewish, the takana samdina would be binding. The way that the Nezer says and the way Rav Henkin says, the Pashto says, the law would be binding. There are some people who abuse the law and they declare bankruptcy every 5 years, which stick, and they put away the money under their wife's name and so on. So that's a Taisus in Gittin. We were just looking at it before. On Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph, Dibra Maskel Hafkina Rabbanon LeKiddushim Inei. So Taisus ends off there. Whenever they made a takana leTikkun Hamdina, if the person is abusing the law, he's just abusing. We know why they made the takana. So if the person is abusing it just leTaybes Atzmai, so then Taisus says we can ascertain that he's abusing it. That the whole takana doesn't apply. And also, one of the takanas that they made, L'tikkun Hamdina, is that a roife shekilkel. There were three toseftas, there are two toseftas in Bava Kama, one tosefta in Gittin, and all three contradict each other. So the Osamech explains how there's no contradiction. So it talks about a doctor who accidentally harmed the patient. Instead, he was trying to heal the patient, and he harmed the patient. So does he have to pay? So one tosefta says chai, one tosefta says pater and bava kama, and then the third tosefta in Gittin says pater b'din yonim chai b'din shamayim. So how can it be? So the Osamech explains that there's no contradiction. That chayev goes on nezek. Nezek is adam mod yonim b'im shagig b'im emesim. Unless it's mam shayin is gomer. So the roife shekilkel, it says in Tosefta is Chayev, that's a Tosefta that corresponds to the Mishnah at the end of the second paragraph of Bava Kama. The Gemara says it goes on Nezek. The Peit Sari Peshavis Boishas is only, to say Boishas is only if there was Kavana Levaish, or at least Kavana Lachbo. So the Reife certainly didn't have Kavana Levaish or Lachbo, so the Boishas is Potter from the evening. At Sari Peshavis, the Gemara says at the end of the second paragraph of Bava Kama, you only pay if there's some degree of Pshia. So let's say the Reifer didn't do any Pshia at all. So that Tosefta says the Reifer Shekilkel is Pata from Tzari Peshavis Boishas. The earlier Tosefta corresponding to the Mishnah at the end of the second parak of Bava Kama says the Reifer Shekilkel is Chayv goes on Nezek. The Tosefta in Gittin says Pata Medoyanim Chayv Medina Shamayim. That goes on what it says in the Tosefta, the line before. In order to encourage the Ramban in the Torah Sa'adam, as Ramban was a doctor, so he wrote all Sefer Torah Sa'adam about all the dinim that you have to know from the time the baby is born till the baby dies. So he talks about delivering babies on Shabbos, what you're allowed to do, to what extent you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, with the dinim deraisa, the dinim derabbanan. The baby's legs are crooked, it's not a sakanas tefashis, but it'll be a crippled baby, so what are you allowed to do on Shabbos, what not? Then if the baby gets sick later, what are the dinim? And the doctor is allowed to treat the patient, even though this is something, it may kill the patient by accident. Many times here in the COVID, in the hospital, the first couple of months they were killing the patients because they didn't know how to treat them. So all the medicine advanced because of trial and error. Over all the generations, first they're killing all the patients because they don't know what to do. And then after they figure it out, so many people are dying. So then they figure out the correct practice. So that's the pasuk. Rapi rapi, shenita mishus l'roif l'rapis. The doctor is permitted to practice medicine, even though there's a strong chance that he may kill the patient. He's allowed to. So the din is that sometimes the roif shekilkel has to pay. Nezek has to pay. So many times, you can, in America, years ago, around 40 years ago, there were a lot of malpractice suits, and a lot of people were dropping out of medicine. They didn't want to practice medicine because the patients who suffered because the doctor made a mistake. They can sue them and they'll pay for the rest of their lives. So a lot of people dropped the surgery and medicine. So the halacha was concerned about that. So the Tanoim had a system. Not everybody in medical school gets hundreds on their exams. So whoever got hundreds, so they gave them rishus to practice medicine, tov lo yishalmo. We want to encourage the expert doctors to remain in the field of medicine. That we say, even if they'll harm a person, we exempt them. Hefker bezna, hefker, and dina machus is the same as hefker bezna. They have the right to exempt the doctor, even though the attorney is right to pay. We want to encourage him to stay in the field. So then it says, even though he's part of medina yodam, but it's chai medina shamayim, if he has enough money to pay, if he is a wealthy doctor, so he really should pay, because mikra, then he really should pay. So that's what, that's practiced by bankruptcy. Let's say a person declared bankruptcy, so he doesn't have to pay not the Jews and not the goyim, because bankruptcy is the takona l'toivus hamdina. So that's binding even if all the parties involved are Jewish. But if later on the person pulls himself together and he does make money, so the correct practice is he should pay back everybody that he owed the money to originally. That's even though he's that's the Tosefta, the in Gittin. That whenever the Bezin makes a takana of a tikka ramdina, even though you're potter because of the hefka bezin hefka, it really should pay. There is a din, you know, what a Jew, it says the first pasuk, mishpata ela mishpata mishatosim lefneihem, so the Gemara has a kam lefneihem velo lefnei arkoyas. You're not allowed to go to a secular court. Means if a Jew is going to sue another Jew in secular court, that's an isa. Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanaim, it's ilo yirosom. You're mechabed the avodah zara, because the secular courts years ago used to be sponsored by the Christian religion, by the other religions. So if the Jews will take each other to the secular court, they're being mechabed the goyish avodah zara religion. Rav Herzog points out, it's a double poshut like that, that he wrote a lot about the Jewish law, Jewish jurisprudence. And when they declared the Medina in 1948, when that Hakamas Hamdina, he was waiting for Megurian to call him on the phone. He should help set up the system, the Bati Dinim. And he's still waiting for the phone call. He was very upset. He wrote so much in English about Jewish jurisprudence, and he wanted to introduce Mishpatei HaTorah. And the way the Israeli courts, Pasken Shilas, is based on Turkish law and Arab law and British law. And nothing from, very little from Torah. They only have Hashavas Aveda. They adopted Chosham Mishma. Hashavas Aveda is very little. What about the Chavel Mazik and Abba Mabulab, everything else? They didn't follow. They don't follow Mishpat Ivri. So he was very upset about that. So he writes, that's a double portion. Chacham Avadia quotes it from Rav Herzog's Sefer, that the prohibition to go across is even if it's a secular court that's not sponsored by any religion. Also, there's no Ili Yerosim. You're not being mechabed. They have a desired religion, but it's still not permissible to go to court. What happens if two Jews went to court and the Goyish court gave a psak based on the Din of the Machusa? So the Chazon Ish writes in the Sefer, Din of the Machusa Dina, if they, just like there's a Din Hefka, Bezna Hefka, Bezna Shenge Paskin, that's it, they Paskin, so that's the Din. So the one person has to pay the other one. So if the Goyish court Paskin between Reuben and Shimon, based on their secular laws, the psak is binding. The Bezdin may want to penalize the person who won the court case because he did wrong by going to our cause. But they both agreed to go to our cause, so they may not want to penalize him. They both did wrong. Maybe they didn't. They never heard of the prohibition of our cause. So if they want to penalize him, they have a right to penalize him, and they will, even though the court, the secular court, awarded him all that money, they have a right to penalize him, but you have to judge in each case. He calls him on the bezin, doesn't penalize. He won the case in court. That's the deal. So the Chazon Ish explains. There's a Rabbeinu Yoina, Baba Basra. Ali is the Rabbeinu Yoina. So the Rabbeinu Yoina explains the Machloikis in the first Perek in Gittin. What daf was that again? Daf Yud Amud Beis. There's a Mishnah, Kol HaShtoris HaOlam HaKol Shal Nochrim. Yeah, Yehuda Amud Beis, there's a Mishnah, there's a Machlokes in the Gemara. A Jew is selling karka to another Jew, and for some reason or another, they went to a Goyish court, and they sold it b'shtar, and they goyim. The Goyish court, they signed the shtar. So according to Dinei B'nei Noyach, that constitutes a kinyan. According to Dinei HaTorah, that's not considered a valid shtar. It's signed by goyim. It depends. If you hold Eidim, if you hold Eidim Chasim Makarsi, if you hold like Rav Meir, Eidim Chasim Makarsi, so you have to have kosher Eidim. We pass good Eidim Mesira Makarsi. So if you have Eidim Mesira, you don't need Eidim Chasim. But the Gemara has there on Machlekes. The court didn't paskin on his case. The court just filled out the legal documents. So that's a machlokes. If the both parties are Jewish, usually we don't apply din in the machlokes at the end. So that's a machlokes that we can, since the legal shtar mechira was filled out by the arkos, maybe we should treat that like as if the court had given a psak on this case. So the Chazanish explains, points out that that's what the Rabbein Yoin interprets in the Gemara. That the din is that the din of Machus Adina, if the Goyish government would pasken on their case between two Jews, the Psak would be binding, even though the Psak was based on Goyish law. But here they didn't give a Psak, here they just filled out a Shtar Mechira, and according to the din of Pirin Rech, that's valid. So that's what Machoikas is considered Kedilu. Kielu, the government gave a psak on the case, whether that Kenyan would be valid. If you hold the Kenyan is valid, the Kenyan according to Dina Machusa is valid, because if you hold that it is valid, so then there's the question whether that works minatara midrab. That's relevant when we do Mechiras Chametz. We're selling the Chametz to the Goy. So we make six different Kenyanim. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ktzais. The original practice was developed by a Jewish farmer who has cows and they're about to give birth for the first time. There's a 50-50 chance that the Uber may be a Zohar. If it's a Zohar, then it'll be a Bechor Behem Torah. If she never had any miscarriages previously. So if it's going to be a Bechor Behem Torah, then you have to wait till it gets a mum. You're not allowed to make a mum. Also, you have to wait till it makes it, till it develops a mum. That can take months and months and months. That can take years. The Mishnah has in Masachas Becheres, Mishnah describes there was a Goyish policeman who used to, his beat was, he walked right next to the farm of a Jew. And he saw there was one cow that they never made the cow work. So yes, what is that, a holy cow? Why don't they make all the other cows they haven't do malachim? This cow doesn't. He said, yeah, it's a holy cow. It's a Bechor Behem Torah. So what are you going to do with it? So he said, we have to wait till it gets a mum. So he said, why can't you make a mum? He said, we're not allowed to. So he said, no problem. So the Goyish policeman took his knife, and he made a mum. So the din is, if the Jew encouraged the Goy to make the mum, then you're not allowed to shech the Bechor based on that mum. But here he didn't encourage him, but he told him so much, he didn't intend to encourage him, but he told him so much information that the Goy did him the favor on his own. So that was a discussion in the Mishnah. Is there a penalty in the Rabbanah that you're not allowed to shech the Bechor based on this mum? Because the Jew didn't encourage the Goy to do it, but he told the Goy all the information. So that's all discussion over there. So the Taisvus has in Chorus, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, that the practice always was that when a Jewish farmer has a Bechor Behema Tahorah that's about to give birth for the first time, and it may, there's 50-50 chance it may be a Zohar, so he makes a Shutfus for the Goy. So how do you make a shutfus for the Goy? How do you sell metaltalim to a Goy? So that's a whole big machlokes. So the practice, he worked out the whole system. He makes six kinyonim. So then in the 1800s, when they started the whole practice that we have on Mechiras Chametz, all the balabatim asked the rabbi to sell all the chametz and to buy it back after Pesach. So they carried over this, the whole system of making six kinyonim. So some of the six kinyonim are, we make a kinyon kefidin and the machusa. There the Gemara is talking, both two Jews are selling to each other, and the goyim made the shtar mechira. So whenever all the parties are Jewish, you don't apply din in the machusa, only when one of the parties is a non-Jew, unless the goyish court paskin on their case. So Rabbi Yonah learns that's the machlokes. The shtar mechira was filled out by the goyish court. Do you treat that as if the goyish court gave a psalka? No. They didn't give a psak, and they didn't machlis. It doesn't apply whenever the both parties are Jewish. So that's a machlis. But when you're selling behema hamavakeris to the goy, make a shud for zivak. One of the parties involved is a goy. So then you do apply the din of the machlis. So goy should be able to be kainer with the kinyan kafid din of the machlis. In New York State, you can sell metalfalim, chametz, and behema. You can sell without any shtar. If you sell real estate, you have to have a shtar. But if you're just selling metalfalim, you can make an oral kinyan. An oral agreement, I think that's the law. So the question is, if you sell the Fidin and the Machusa, does that Kenyan work Minotaur Midirabon? It only works Midirabon, and so then some posts come hold that it's not enough to solve the problem of Bchor Behemotaur, because Minotaur, the Behemoth, the Vlad still belongs to the Jew. It's not enough to take off the Yisra Balyurav by Motze. That's a question. Whether a Kenyan that only works Midirabon, does that solve problems Deraisa? But the Kenyan Derabon is a moil for Dinam Deraisa. It's a question whether Hefker Bezna Hefker. Hefker Bezna Hefker is only good Lahafker Menator, or it's even good Menator Lahaknas Lachem. So that's a big issue. So we do six Kinyonim, and one of the six Kinyonim is we make the Kinyon Kifi Din in the Machusa. What do you need with all the other Kinyonim? Because some whole Adin in the Machusa only works with the Rabbanon, and it doesn't help to solve this kind of a problem. Yeah, the Chazon Ish writes this in the Sefer. Whenever people are involved in a business deal, and the minhag hamdina is that everybody follows Dinei Bnei Noach, because you deal in business with Jews and non-Jews alike. That was the Shah quoted that from the Mordechai. So then, when he deals with the Jews, he also has in mind that he wants to follow Dinei Bnei Noach. So whatever, Hakol minhag hamdina, because it's considered kilu isno. So the Chazon Ish like that. And then the Din HaTorah requires, let's say they make a deal, Din Imamanis, and they make a deal, they want to follow Din Ebnei Noach. That's Tanai Shabimam, called Tanai Shabimam and his Kaim. So then the Bezna has to paskin according to Din Ebnei Noach. The Bezna has to paskin. A lot of the Frume Bati Dinim in New York City will not follow that. They'll follow always Din HaTorah. But the Chazon Ish says that is Din HaTorah. Whatever is the minhag din is considered kilu hisnu. The Rishayim say this. Considered kilu hisnu. And hisnu, then tashav b'mamin is kaim. That's why the RCA Bezna a lot of times will award money to an edin tor. They'll award money based on din in the machusa, even though all the parties involved are Jewish. Because it's understood that they made the deal, the business deal, in accordance with din in the machusa, according to the din b'nei Noach, not according to din Israel. And you have a right to make such a tenai. Let me just close with an incident that came up many years ago. Maybe I shouldn't close yet with that. Let me say another thing first. In Shulchan Aruch Hilchas Eidus, Hilchas Dayanim Hilchas Eidus. So this is Sif in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a court case, and the government, the judge knows, let's say this Jew was a secretary in a nursing home. And we know that the secretary knows everything that went on there, and he knows information. The government knows that the owner of the nursing home violated many laws. He was cheating the government. He was taking money for the dead people 20 years after they died already. But they don't have evidence that's allowed in court. So they know that the secretary or the vice president of the nursing home knows all the information, and they want him to testify in court. So is that called Nesira? So the Mechaber writes, if there's a court case against the Jew, and another Jew knows to testify, he's not allowed to testify against the other Jew. But if the judge knows that he knows information, and he says, we know that you know the information. So then it says, since it's a chil Hashem, that the Kohen are going to say the Jews are covering up on each other, so then it's mechuyev to testify. So what's the story of here? So I remember years ago when they had all the scandals with the nursing homes, 50 years ago, there were a lot of scandals. A lot of the Jewish people, the wealthy Jews, were involved in nursing homes. So one of the Batidinim, one of the Hungarian Batidinim from Williamsburg, gave a psak. I don't know why it was hanging up in the basement. Why you? a copy of the psak, that the person who works in the nursing home is not allowed to testify against the owner because it's a nisim mesira, and it gives you a chapter and a verse where it says this in Chayshim Mishpat. So we looked it up, and it says the opposite. So the fair is the opposite. So the Bir Agro explains over there what's going on. That's not mesira. Mesira is only when a chaloike did. But if the guy violated the law and he deserves to be punished, so that's not a nisim mesira. So, but if the judge didn't call upon me to test, I'm going to volunteer on my own. So the Bir Agro says that's a nisir aveda sakum. There's a din that the Shabbos Aveda is only to give back an Aveda to Yisrael. Aveda Sakam is an Issa. Laman's place of Rabbi is Hatzmeya. If you give back Aveda Sakam, like Aveda Sakam, treating the Nochem the same as the Jews. Jews belong to a club together, so you have to give back the Shabbos Aveda. The Nochem are not part of the club, so you're going to treat the Nochem as if they're Jews. That's a Bizayim. That's a Bizayim, not allowed to. But Aveda Sakam, if there's Chil Hashem, then you have to give back Aveda Sakam. Or even if there's no Chil Hashem, if you'll accomplish a Kiddush Hashem, then you have to give back the Aveda Sakam. So the Bir Agro said, that's what's going on over here. The government knows that there's somebody guilty. They know, obviously, there are people cheating on income tax because they should have much more money. So if I'm going to massa on another Jew cheating on income tax, that's really an Issa Aveda Sakam. I'm helping the government find the criminal. Maybe in America, maybe it's Avedis Yisrael. I don't know. Because the money, they're not stealing the money from the government, they're stealing the money from all the other shutfans, like we said before. The democracy, you pay me time shutfans. I don't know. But in Europe, years ago, it used to be Avedis Akum. So if the judge knows that I know information, and the only reason I'm not mastering on the other Jews because the Jews cover up on each other, then he says, you have to snitch on the other guy, because that's B'mak M'chil Hashem, you have to get back to Abed Zak. So that's the favorite in the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah. Let me just close with the story. Apparently, for many years, the president of the OU used to be Julie Berman for many years. He was a lawyer. After him was, what was that? Also a lawyer.
No.
I forgot. A couple of presidents in a row were lawyers. So there was another lawyer who wanted to become.
I think Shimmy Questel, right? Questel.
Then after him was another lawyer. I forgot who passed away already. A whole bunch of lawyers. So there was one lawyer, Orthodox man, who wanted to become the president of the OU. And he said that for years and years, the OU was violating their bylaws. They have a constitution, but bylaws. They were violating their bylaws about how they appoint the president. He's going to sue them in secular court because he wants to become the president. And he has the right to become the president based on the bylaws. So they told him, you're not allowed to go to court. You're going to take the OU to our court. You're not allowed to go to our court. So they have to go to a dentara. So who are they going to go to for a dentara? They didn't trust any of them, but they didn't. So they both had trust in Dr. Lamb. So Dr. Lamb's going to pass in the din Torah. So Dr. Lamb discussed the issue with the rabbein. So one of the rabbein showed him that Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva exactly on this case. The Histadrut in Eretz Yisrael was a labor union. And the Histadrut had bylaws. And for years they were violating the bylaws regarding appointing the president of the Histadrut. So the Shaila was exactly the same as the case in the OU. This fellow today wants to go to court, and he wants to say, according to the bylaws, I want to become the president. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, since the bylaws have a clause that if you have enough people agreeing, you can change the bylaws. And for years they've been following this system. They've not been following the bylaws for years. So Hakol Kaminik Hamdina, since the Minik Hamdina is by the Histadrut and by the OU, for many years and years, yeah, they don't follow the bylaws. So it's considered as if they changed the laws, because Hakol Kaminik Hamdina is considered Kilu Histo. And Histo, they have a right to change it. So that's what they said. They changed the bylaws. Because that was the end. So he didn't become the president. Okay, these are some of the dinim involved in dinim the machusa, and they once asked Rav Yankel Kamenetsky, dinim machusa dinim, you understand that if a guy was speeding or he parked illegally, so the police can give him a ticket and he has to pay. The government penalizes him, he has to pay. But is there a law that you're not allowed to speed? The government has a right to tell me I'm not allowed to speed on the highway. Maybe dinim machusa doesn't apply over there. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, that's not Dina Malchus. Said the government established that it's not safe to go beyond the speed limit. So that's binding because when Ishmantam Yodan Nafshin Sef, you're not allowed to put yourself in a dangerous situation. Not only dangerous that you may get killed, dangerous you may get hurt. You're not allowed to put yourself in a dangerous situation. The pashtus is, if the government has doctors who ascertain that the best is to have the inoculation for this epidemic that's all over the world now, so not that Dina Machus is binding, we have to take the inoculation. The Dina Machus Miod and Nafshin Sechem requires of us. The pashtus is like that. We should, in every generation, the Tanoim and Namaram, they always follow the doctors of their generation. They're always crank doctors in every generation. You have to follow their respected doctors. The Ruba, the doctors, of legitimate doctors, say that this is the way to solve the problem. And they see that now the people who are not inoculated are the ones are getting sick. The ones who were inoculated are getting sick to a lesser extent. So you see, the inoculation does help. You can't deny that. So the Pashto says you don't even need Dina Machusa for that. That's Mitam and Ishmaat Amir, then I should say. Okay, we should all be healthy.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi. Thank you. Have a very good day.
Enjoy
your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.